Welcome to the Sharp Tongue Podcast, everybody. Back from Christmas break. I hope everybody... I hope everybody had a lovely holiday. This episode, I take a break from talking about my father's dementia. I give you guys a break and myself a break because we've been talking about it a lot. And I interview one of my friends from High Times, Miss Jackie Stang, and we talk a lot of shit, y'all. We talk about Weinstein, we talk about women's suffrage, and we talk about scissoring and Mary Poppins. What a fun episode. Stay tuned. It's coming up next on the Sharp Tongue Podcast. Again. Well, it's over now. Literally, Christmas is over now. I hope you guys had a lovely holiday. I decided to not talk about my dad's dementia, so each time I do, I have decided to have somebody shock me from the other side of the room. I'm wearing a dog collar, so every time I mention my dad's dementia... Ah! Just kidding. Nobody's zapping me. I'm at my mom's house in Syracuse. And I had a lovely holiday. Before we get into the interview, which was a lot of fun to talk with one of my girls about life, liberty, and the pursuit of love, and pussies, I decided to tell you guys about where I'm going to be. Coming up is New Year's Eve. That's the next holiday. And guess what? You can spend it with me, y'all. You can spend it with Miss Jessie May. I will be in San Diego at the American Comedy Company the 29th, 30th, and 31st. You can go to AmericanComedyCo.com for tickets. You can go to JessieMay.com for tickets. That's the 29th, 30th, and 31st of December. Come ring in the new year with some cheer and beer and jokes. This girl, Jessie May, will be on stage entertaining you guys. I will also, for the first time, be performing in Denver, Colorado. I'm so excited. It's going to be at the Denver Comedy Works. The 14th, let me open up my iCal. We're doing the Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, which is the 14th, 15th, and 16th, Denver Comedy Works. You can go to jessiemay.com for tickets for that as well. Also, I'm going to be in San Francisco. I produced a show for the Sketchfest I'm so excited about. It's called The Seven Deadly Sins. It's featuring seven comics. We each talk about a sin. We pick a sin from a box on stage, much like the movie Seven. What a great idea. It's going to be a box on stage, and there's going to be a bunch of things inside of the box that correlate with the sin, and the comedians have to perform based off of whatever sin they pick out. How genius is that? My boyfriend came up with that idea. That's right. Jessie May's got a boyfriend. More on that later. But... that's going to be at the Cobbs Comedy Club, January 26th, showtime at 7:30, jessiemay.com for tickets. And if you guys want to win free tickets, you just email me at jessiemaypelusocomedy@gmail.com, and I pick a few select winners. So you pick your show, I'll let you know if you won. I'm also going to be, the beginning of February, February 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, I will be doing a mini tour through Michigan. I will be at the Loft in Lansing, Michigan on the 1st. I will be at the Wealthy in Grand Rapids, Michigan on the 2nd. And then I'll be at Crowfoot in Detroit, Michigan on the 3rd. What the fuck? Hopefully there's not like real crow's feet. That's real gross. Have y'all heard about the crow's funeral? Man, crows aren't as crusty as we think. They're actually very developed creatures. Birds are reptilian, y'all. They're old. They got some traditions. Crows actually have a funeral. It's very sophisticated. They lay out hors d'oeuvres. They have weird ants that come and cry on your shoulder that you haven't seen in years. Oh, you really care that she died? You haven't been around in a long time, bitch. All of a sudden you showed up because there's free crudité, and you're crying on my shoulder. Your crusty crudité crow cries all up on my shoulder. I don't know why I'm talking about crows. So please come out and see my shows. I'm very excited to be performing. I do meet and greets for the most part at every single show, unless, you know, I got the shards. Sometimes when I perform, I get the shards. So, you know, I got to shoot off stage real fast. My holidays were lovely, but I said I wasn't going to talk about my dad's dementia. So I can't go into my holidays until next week. So I'm taking a break this week, but I'll get back on it next week and I'll tell you all about my holiday things. What's the matter, Bunny? You going to take a shit on the carpet? These dogs, I got to tell you, I've stepped in more Tootsie Rolls around this goddamn house than ever. It's like they're just getting hand fed from the table, which I don't do. Motherfuckers are just feeding them from the table. No, don't do that, okay? My dogs are fine. Give them their cute little treats on the floor. Please don't give them slices of ham hock right from the kitchen table, okay? I'm raising sophisticated animals, sophisticated crows, all sophistication all the time. this episode was a lot of fun. I sat down with my girl, Jackie Stang, who has befriended me. She's given me work. She found me on the street corner. She was a fan and has become a friend and has also become a professional collaborator. I bounce a lot of ideas off of her, and she is the reason I've hosted a couple of the High Times Cannabis Cups. I did the San Bernardino Cup, I did the Flint, Michigan Cup, and I did the Harvest Cup that just happened with Adam Ill. And she's given me just loads of work and love and support and friendship, and she's just an amazing person and super talented and just has all these amazing aspects that a human being can wish to have as a woman and just as a person in general. And so we sat down at her apartment that overlooked the ocean, and we talked about life. We talked about Harvey Weinstein's balls. We talked about scissoring. We talked about women's suffrage. And we even got into a little Mary Poppins stuff that I didn't know about. So I hope you guys enjoy this week's episode of Sharp Tongue Podcast with the marvelous, talented, lovely, sexy, beautiful Jackie Stang. Bow, chicka, bow. Just a psychotic girl, and I won't get lost in your world. I feel good. We're here on your comfy, adorable couch.
Are we recording?
Yeah, we are. I get right into it. Hey!
You got to, right?
You
got to
get right into it, damn it. You know what I'm saying? I just told you a very embarrassing story about tampons. That you told me I needed to tell people, and I'm not sure I need to.
I mean, you know what? You could think about it. You could sleep on it. It's funny as shit, though. And I think it could help with. I think it could help women in the future, and you know that's important.
I'll think about it by the end of this if I feel like they need to know what happened with the tampons. Some of you are probably already making your own conclusions. You're drawing your own conclusions because there's not much that can happen with tampons.
Notice how she said tampons, plural.
There are multiple occasions where there are incidents with tampons. I can't be trusted is my problem.
Tampons can't be trusted.
Lonely. Loneliness is real. Guys, I fucked a tampon. I got pregnant from a tampon. My secret's out.
That's a sexy tampon.
That is a really sexy tampon with no balls. Balls are gross.
I like balls.
Do you?
I do. Well, I like my husband's balls.
He's got good set?
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Stang. I like balls because I think, well, it's a very vulnerable part of a man.
It is.
So you can like, it's a weapon, really.
Yeah.
For women.
Yeah. It's like, it's their ovaries hanging out.
Exactly.
It's what our ovaries would look like if we had them showing, like bedazzled. I really feel like, do you ever think about having a dick?
All the time.
Right?
I mean, men think about having a vagina. They have to.
They must.
That's why they're obsessed.
They are obsessed with it.
But yes, I think about having a dick.
Do you think yours? I think mine would be pretty big. I'm Sicilian. What's your background?
Irish.
Ooh, you could go either way.
I could go either way. I have big boobs. Does
you,
that
you have great
mean
boobs.
I'd have a big dick?
I think it'd be balanced, yeah. I think you'd be well stocked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Would you like show it to people? I kind of get it why guys flash. Like, hey, look, check it out.
Just play with it. Like, yeah. I was on the beach the other day, and this kid just fucking like hitting his beam, right? He's just like slapping it.
Really?
And that's just you know, he's just exploring. He's like, hey, what is this? He's new to his penis. His penis is new to him.
How old was he? He was jerking it. He was jerking it for real?
No, he was just like slapping it.
Jesus. Where's his mom? Is it like a neglectful
she's
thing?
She's like hoping he keeps going into the ocean. Just kidding.
Make it more salty. Make the ocean more salty.
I don't know.
Was he young?
Ish. Let's say 8.
I mean, you know, at some point they're going to find it.
Yeah.
My nephew, he does this like flicky thing with his hand. He's like, oh, what's that down there?
Yeah, they pull on it. I mean,
yeah, they do the Yankee thing.
Just like pull on it.
See, vaginas, you can't really just like.
No, then you gotta like wash your hands.
Yeah, it's not like you can just hang on to it Al Bundy style.
Sometimes I do when I'm sleeping.
I do that. I wake up and I'm legit Al Bundy like this. My boyfriend makes fun of me because I'm always like, just hanging out like a total slob.
It's comforting.
You know what I just realized about you, why you and I get along so well and why we like each other? We're very similar when it comes to like the feminine masculine balance. Mm-hmm. I feel like you and I are like kind of in the middle there.
Yeah.
Cause you're like, you've got this like tomboyish vibe. Mm-hmm. Like you're a down chick. You're chill.
Down.
I'm
not that down.
She ain't
no
DTF.
Means no.
She is married, y'all.
Stop.
In the name of love. Oh my God, I'm a singer. I really wish I could sing. Do you ever like?
I can sing well enough. Well, an ex fuckhead boyfriend told me once that I could sing well enough to be Britney Spears' backup singer.
That's, but you know, and I'm going to take that as a severe compliment. Because
also, I hate myself, so I just assume it's awful.
No, it sounds good because if you think about it, because Britney, no offense to Britney, she's not necessarily a singer as much as she is a performer. So she needs good backup singers. So maybe he's saying you're that good because she needs no. Okay.
No, he was hating on me.
All right.
So I fucking love to sing.
Yeah.
In fact, last night.
Oh God!
I had to fall asleep to Mary Poppins.
The movie?
Yeah, the movie.
The original?
Yes.
Wait. Is it Jude? Who plays Mary Poppins? What's her name?
That badass bitch.
Yeah. What's her name? Oh God, I'm gonna.
Julie Andrews.
Julie Andrews. God, that movie is so fucking magical.
It is and poignant. So I was watching it because, you know, shit's cray, and I was like, I just need. To feel good.
Yeah, you need something simple.
One of those movies. I know every word. I sang and I was like, there's no way I'm going to get Matt to turn on Mary Poppins. There's no fucking way.
Did he watch it with you?
He did. He fell asleep.
See, that's a beautiful thing about
right to sleep.
The stoner life. I feel like you can just get down with any movie. You're like, Mary Poppins?
Yeah.
Fuck yes.
I wasn't even high.
You weren't?
No.
Yeah, but you know, you're like, we're in the culture.
Yeah.
It's a different mindset. You're like open to a lot of different shit.
Everyone thinks I'm a stoner.
Yeah. See, everyone thinks I'm a stoner, but I'm not really like
no,
a stoner
you're
stoner.
You're not.
I smoke weed.
Yeah.
I'm not depends a stoner. Too. I have depends.
You
I'm like, I
you
should.
Should the tampon story you told me. Ooh.
I'm going to be making notes all along because I'm going to forget. Obviously, I have some issues forgetting. There's another secret about the tampon.
That's it. You just told it. Everybody knows.
Oh, my God. Wait. Is it Mary Poppins, essentially? Like, if I think about it, because I haven't watched it since I was a kid. And the more, like, the fun thing to do for me is to watch these movies again as an adult and be like, oh, here's what the movie's really about. Like, Beauty and the Beast, that movie's about bestiality. She's boning a wolf or a bear man.
Ooh.
Mary Poppins.
I never went there with that. So Mary Poppins is it's about...
A nanny who gives her kids heroin.
It's very psychedelic. It's about the first women's movement.
Whoa.
Mr. Banks, Winifred Banks, was a suffragette. And one of the first songs, a suffragette, sister suffragette.
What's that?
Women's right to vote.
Oh, God. Oh, suffrage.
Suffrage.
Oh, I thought you said suffragette. I'm like, what? Is that a type of airplane? Yeah, suffrage. Holy shit.
Yeah, one of the first songs in the movie is her singing about, you know, fighting for women's right to vote.
Holy fuck.
The first wave feminism.
How have I not? I need to rewatch Mary Poppins.
You do. And Mr. Banks is, while charming, very controlling. And
is he my ex? Sounds like every fucking horrible ex ever.
Yeah. And it's so, there's a really funny line in it where she says to their nanny or so, no, not the nanny, the chef.
Yeah.
The nurse. I don't know.
Okay.
One of their help.
Yeah.
She has the sash. It says like women's suffrage movement or something. She said, "Gladys, take these. You know how the cause infuriates Mr. Banks." So she's like this, you know.
She's a badass
hero. And then her and Mr. Banks get in a scene and she's very submissive again. She's like, "Yes, Mr. Banks. I'm sorry, Mr. Banks. I love you. Whatever you want, Mr. Banks." But then, like, behind the scenes, she's a fucking boss.
That's kind of pretty badass, because if you think about it, women had to be submissive. Mm-hmm. They didn't have enough of power to be where we're at today with all of that.
Yeah, no, not Winifred Banks, the fictional character in the movie, but women like her.
But what about the flying shit? What about all the flying shit?
That's the psychedelic part.
It's, you know what, they're like, that movie's so progressive, mm-hmm. and the fact that they're talking about, like, women's suffrage and women having more rights, they had to, like, put in some, you know, psychedelics to be like, no, we're just joking, this movie's about, it's about acid, we're just flying around.
Well, and Mary Poppins herself was, she had really high self-esteem.
Yeah, right? She had high self-esteem, right?
And she was no nonsense. She communicated well.
Yeah.
She didn't take Mr. Banks' shit.
No, she didn't.
So she was a very progressive woman herself. I mean, it's all about feminism as far as I'm concerned.
Fuck.
I fell asleep halfway through again.
I got to watch it again.
Yeah, you got to.
That's pretty baller, man.
Shout out to Mary Poppins.
Shout out to feminism.
And Toppins.
And Toppins?
Toppins a bag, remember?
Oh, I don't remember any of that. Okay. I got to watch it again.
Spoiler alert.
I want to watch Mary Poppins and Ace Ventura: When Nature Calls. Aww. Do you ever see that movie? Yeah. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. God.
It's been a while.
And we talked about Jim Carrey and Jim and Andy, that documentary. I talked about it on the podcast before. Like,
intense, dude.
Carrey might be one of the greatest comedic actors of our generation.
I mean, he's like he's beyond an actor. He is. Like a force.
He is.
It took me, we talked about this, it took me 4 times to get through that whole documentary.
Yeah, I couldn't watch it in one sitting. And it's like, I mean, it's like an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
And it goes, it's basically, nobody knew this was happening, but they were filming a documentary while he was filming Man on the Moon. Mm-hmm. While he was embodying, I mean, you can't even say impersonating. He was embodying Andy Kaufman.
Andy's family would like speak to Jim Carrey as Andy and hug him. And
yeah. He said it was like a cathartic movement for them. It was like an experience for everybody who knew Andy.
Yeah.
He lived as Andy. He couldn't not. He was Andy.
Yeah.
That's the only way he was able to do that. And God, just to think about how fucking heavy that was. You got the microphone. Is it okay?
Good.
Yeah. Got it on.
The microphone.
It was just, that documentary was really inspiring. It was hard to watch because it was so heavy.
Super heavy. I think the biggest nugget I took was when, besides the moments where Jim would just blazingly like stop and then just stare into the camera and like you're like, you see a soul and shit, you're like, whoa, I'm not even tripping. Jim.
I said a stop at those parts.
Yeah.
Because I felt like he was looking through the TV at me.
He was, Jesse.
It was intense.
Yeah. When he talked about, after he stopped playing Andy, and then he had to go back, you know, and sort of figure out who he was, and then realize that he was the happiest playing Andy because Andy had tapped into whatever part of his psyche that just allowed him, like, no fucks given.
No rules.
Like, freedom. I mean, no fucks, and then he would push the envelope beyond that, and the freedom that comes along with that, I think we all think about all the time, and, like, you know, wish for, but you gotta have some balls.
You gotta have some real balls to be unconventional because everyone wants to be accepted. If you're unconventional, you're not accepted because we were saying this before, people can't categorize something they haven't seen before.
Yeah.
So it scares them.
Fear.
Yeah. Fear's a bitch.
God, now this is gonna be like self-help.
It's gonna be so many things. But like, so you're a comedy fan, like,
oh,
I feel like you're such a comedy fan.
I'm such a geek. That's how I met you.
I know.
I'm a big comedy geek.
Like, who are your peeps right now that you're digging?
Jesse Mapaluso.
Shut up. Shut up.
I've got my originals, who I wouldn't even... I don't go see in stand-up a lot, but Joe Rogan, of course.
Shout out.
Adam Carolla and Duncan Trussell. I mean, all that nice. Crew, basically.
Yeah.
But it started as I was in London, and I had a lot of time on my hands, and I listened to podcasts on trains all day long, every day.
When was this? How long ago?
6 years.
Yeah.
And in a wildly cheesy way, I mean, they saved my life.
Why did you have so much time on your hands?
I'd move there, and they don't fucking mess around. They really don't want you to work there as an expat.
Yeah. Oh, so you couldn't find work. Are you trying to find work?
I mean, I was trying to find stuff to do.
Yeah.
I would help friends with, like, their art exhibits or, you know, I was trying to keep myself occupied because, like, you know, not having something to do is...
An idle mind is, like...
Jump off a cliff.
Will murder yourself.
No. So I'd listen to podcasts. Actually, that's not... I started listening... I used to burn Adam Carolla's show onto CDs.
Holy shit.
And Joe Rogan onto CDs.
Y'all don't even know.
And while CDs are these compact discs.
Compact discs, guys.
You burn data and then you listen.
Some old school shit.
In Texas. And you drive a lot. You drive a fuck lot in Texas. And so I'd listen to them and they were like my homies. But they're not. I know I'm not crazy, guys.
No, but
they're
that's the thing really about podcasts. Friend. People feel like they know you because when they're done well... the ones I like, you feel like
long
you're...
Long form.
Yeah.
Not even long form.
Well, just like revealing and a conversation, a natural conversation.
Yep.
Like, don't get me wrong. I love the TED Talks. I love the ones that offer up a question. They answer it. I love anything nerdy NPR stuff where you learn things and it's like specific. But there's something cool about hearing about Bill Burr's day.
Yeah.
And hearing his wife in the background screaming at him.
Well, look, you don't... I mean... I can be an introvert, and I don't like a lot of people.
Yeah.
I'm really fucking choosy. You feel good now?
I do feel special.
So when you find a host that you like, I mean, I'm always, you know, it starts with the host. Lives and dies with the host, naturally, on a podcast. You find someone you like, I mean, it's like reading a book, and I also don't absorb information well when I read it.
I don't either.
And so listening to it, I absorb it much better. And so it just became like a huge... part of my world. And so where did that start? I was listening to podcasts, and a lot of them were a lot of my favorites were just comedians who weren't doing shtick over the podcast.
Right. It was almost the opposite.
Yeah.
It was like not trying to be funny.
Yeah.
Like you just talk and the funny comes to you. Mm-hmm. Like I don't ever want to, for me, like sharp tongue, I'm just talking.
Yeah.
I'm just saying what's going on, interviewing my friends, people that I find interesting, and the funny will be there. Like my last podcast I did with my friend Chris McClure, who's like a younger comic, but he's doing comedy now. And his mother has Alzheimer's.
Oh,
and my
man.
Dad has I dementia. Know. And I was just like, let's just see if we can talk about Alzheimer's and make it not so depressing. Like find
you have
some.
To.
You have to find funny in that crazy.
I think that's why comedians make such good podcast hosts, because you have to be willing to be transparent.
You do.
Otherwise, it's fucking boring.
You're absolutely right. And you know what's crazy about the transparency? You can sense it when it's being fabricated.
Yeah.
Just from listening.
Yeah.
You know when it's bullshit.
Oh, there's tons of those.
Yeah.
Everybody's a fucking podcast host now.
I know.
I went to this women in podcasting thing. Matt made me go. And I was, again, introvert. And I'm like,
nice balls. He's got nice balls,
I don't
though.
Like, he does. I don't like circle jerks, right?
I don't. What about feel square like jerks?
Square jerks are cool. Star jerks, that's fine.
That's complicated. That's mathematical.
That's like cult shit.
Yeah, that's like a pagan cross arm.
Did you hear about that cult, that Hollywood sex cult?
What? I like how you say cult. It sounds cult. Like a baby horse.
I don't have any more information than that. I don't have the name that's of it, or the...
You're just bitching and offer this shit up. Before we started, you're like, you hear about the aliens? I was like, what the fuck about the aliens?
Saturday, dude, buried lead. Fucking aliens. So wait, let me get back
to
how I met you. So I love comedians. I feel like they're my homies. And they say shit that I think all the time. And it's like a safe place, right? No, they don't get fucking offended by everything.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. So I go to the Comedy Store because we're here in LA now.
That was a year ago. Was it a year ago?
Mm-hmm. So I visit the Comedy Store a lot, and one time I did, and I saw you. I saw your act. You did really well. You didn't bomb.
I didn't bomb.
I'm certain of that.
Yeah, I definitely didn't bomb.
And you talked about weed.
I did.
And I was like, oh,
you,
shit.
You were like, wait a minute.
You talked about weed, and to go full circle, you have an energy of like a masculine and feminine balance to you that is watchable and absorbable, in my opinion, as a producer. And I think while I love women, sometimes the women, the female performance doesn't always translate. On podcasts. It doesn't always translate in whatever medium, but it did for me. So I invited you over.
And then we started our love affair.
Yeah.
I've hosted a couple of
High Times as a fucking, as a veil.
As a veil to get in.
To just stalk you.
And then we fell in love. I've had fun. Like, I appreciate you getting me into the High Times family, because it's definitely like expanded things I never thought I would do. And like, we did the High Times. What was the first cannabis cup? Was it the Michigan?
High Times Cannabis Cup.
Is that what I sounded like?
You came and gave an award San away Bernardino. For 20.
That's right.
For 20.
San Bernardino. And then we did Flint, Michigan, where they handed out bottles of water because their water is like coming out of a cow's ass.
That was great.
That was so
People
fun.
Loved you.
That was a lot of fun.
You got like fandom on the golf cart. They were like, Jesse! Like chasing you.
And then we did the Harvest Cup that just passed. And I blame it on Adam Hill.
He got you too high.
He got me too high.
Adam Hill, what?
What? Shout out to Adam Hill. He got me a little high before. I don't like to smoke weed before I perform.
This is smart.
It's not my jam.
Really smart.
I like to have my wits about me. I have a couple drinks. Yeah. I do the Rogan special, I call it. Shout out tequila and a beer.
Yeah.
And he got me a little high, and it just slowly came on me. And he didn't come on me. The high came on me. Poor choice of words. I'm going to leave.
Assault.
I was assaulted.
Me too.
So I went, we had to read the.
So.
Explain it, what my job was.
Jesse May and Adam Hill were co-hosting the award show. I've been trying to elevate the award show for like 4 or 5 shows. Because it was historically an afterthought. After 30-some-odd years of doing the Hot Times Cannabis Cup.
Hot Times Cannabis Cup.
The most coveted award in cannabis.
I just snorted.
I thought, well, let's elevate the show and make it entertaining. Not the easiest thing to do.
Not the easiest thing.
When you have 20 fucking awards.
And stoners in the audience.
And stoners.
Yep.
Toughest audience in the world.
Yep.
I think I prepped you. Prepped you, Tony Hinchcliffe, all the people who've hosted, I'm like, look.
You're like, you're like, keep your expectations lower than you've ever kept them in your life.
Because they're laughing. It's just they're not expressing.
Not audibly.
Right.
They're in their heads.
It's the reason Lil Wayne walked off stage, that little fucker.
Did he really?
He did. San Bernardino 420, I think.
I was there during the day.
A year and a half ago. He got that crowd. He got like the stoner crowd. And they were so excited to see him. It sold really well, but he needed that energy, right? And he just fucking walked off stage and did that little, like, Lil Wayne fucking me.
What is that? Like
he dropped the mic.
Oh, shit.
And then our photographer got it, like, mic, like, mid-drop.
He did, Wayne, that's like, dope.
With a joint in his hand. I was like, that's it. Thank you. Print.
It's not an easy gig.
So you were co-hosting the award show again. With Adam Hill. And he got you too fucking high.
He did.
He doesn't get high anymore.
No, he doesn't. He just is.
Yeah. And some people like that.
We had to read. It was a very simple gig.
Very simple. I'm like, Jesse, Adam Hill's going to introduce you. He's going to hype the crowd, give shit away. He's going to introduce you. You're going to do like, 3 to 5 minutes, whatever you feel. Super cash. And then you guys are going to do you're going to give away awards. There's 20 awards. Here's the cards.
I'm crying.
With the award winners. And then
I went to get off
you
stage.
You come on. We introduce you. The voice of God introduces you. And you're like basically like, hey guys, what's up? I'm Jesse May. I'm high as fuck. All right, we're going to give some awards.
And you're like, no, you got to go.
garbage. You look at me to the right and I just shake my head. Nope. I felt like I was like
oh god,
go.
You like shit. You literally were like, you stoners. Shook your head and you shooed your hands at me to go back on stage. And I went,
and you did.
Oh,
and you kicked it in. Kicked
and
it
I was
in.
Like, okay, I did it. And then, you know, the awards were going good. You know, we had the envelopes,
mm-hmm.
and the envelopes.
And then we got to People's Choice. We got vape pen,
and it all fucking went downhill.
And we get
VIP. People's Choice.
So with VIP, the way an award works, ladies and gentlemen, is three that there's a category.
Yep.
And then there's three award winners.
Third, second, and first place.
Third, second, and first. You read off third, second, and then first. The first winner comes to accept their award. But Jesse announced the category as the winners. So she's like, and now third place. VIP. Second place, People's Choice. And I'm pretty sure first place is vape pen.
I can't. Oh,
oh
God.
That was fun.
Oh, God.
And
I looked at you and you shook your head again. You know what you did? You know what you did? I looked at you because I was so confused. I'm like, what a fucking shitty name for a company, vape pen. This is stupid. I looked at you and you mimed to open the envelope. You just shook your head again and you opened your hands. You're like, open the envelope.
Dude, we're professional.
We're totally professional. And I mean, and that's why you don't do drugs before work. Before you work, kids.
Public service announcement.
PSA. You know, respect.
Not everybody fucking gets stoned, people. Not everybody's a stoner.
Not everybody's a stoner.
And even if you are a stoner, that's cool.
That's cool. But you know what? Some people have said to me, they're like, you don't smoke enough to be a thing. I was like, what? Since when is there a competition in this whole thing?
Dudes like to say that to women.
Yeah, it's always dudes. They're like, oh, yeah, I like how you say you smoke and you only have, like, two hits. Dude, I weigh 120 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm 5'6". This shit metabolizes pretty quick through my system. I had two sips of coffee. I feel like I could fucking run a marathon down the beach right now.
You want to go?
Yeah.
Fuck this podcast. Burn some calories.
That's High Times Cannabis Cup calorie burning sensation. We're doing a beach sprint.
We tried to do that at a cup once,
like
charades or something with stone people. I thought we were just poking fun at people. Felt a little bullying to me.
Did it? Because they were just like, how do you do charades when you're high? You're literally doing charades in your mind when you're
exactly.
high. You just sit there and it's like you already did the game by yourself.
100%.
What,
So that's how we met.
That's how we met.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been working and twerking.
Some content, some
yep.
online content.
We did, that video when I the first time I came to see you we did that video of how to roll a
really
joint.
Shitty joint
yeah because mm-hmm. it caught on fire in the middle of it.
You held it together.
I did I held it together pretty well. That I was high again for that.
I mean,
I smoked a whole bunch on your roof, and then they were like, let's roll a joint, and I was like,
okay,
I can't use my fingers right now.
I can't roll a joint, full disclosure, talking about transparent.
Yeah, it's difficult. Sometimes I can.
Can't roll a joint.
That's okay. Do you prefer joints?
I do. I prefer flower. In fact, let's do a shout out.
What? Yeah, do a shout out.
This is no one's paying a shit, people.
Yeah.
This is just me.
You're a fan of this?
I'm a fucking big fan. So, like records, movies,
mm-hmm.
fashion,
yeah.
they're fads, especially out west. So there's strain fads, right? There's like
yeah.
what's popular now. There's like the land races that everybody always loves. But to find like a genuine land race is like almost impossible. You have to be with a weed geek to like suss it out.
Yeah.
So I'd say like something like Skittles, right, from Third Gen
yeah.
was super popular last year. This is their next big thing. It's called Rosé.
Rosé.
Third Gen Farm.
That's a smart name, though.
It's called Rare Rosé.
That's smart. Does it smell like rosé? I mean, the.
Oh, it's so good.
Wow, that smells amazing.
Rick Rosé.
Jen Farm.
Story about Rick Ross.
Jen Fam. Tell me about Rick Ross.
I'm not going to tell you.
Come on.
People think I'm racist and I'm not fucking going there.
Everyone thinks, you know, I think people who think people are racist are racist. More racist than the people they think are racist.
Yeah.
People Everyone's are racist got a goddamn me. Opinion. I mean, everyone just has a platform now. No one's saying shit. You know what? People are saying shit. No one's doing shit.
Yes. We started this convo the other day. And I think it's boiling down to that for me.
That's
Nobody's
what it, yeah.
doing shit.
No one's doing
Everybody's
shit.
Everybody's like flailing their arms
oh,
now,
God.
Right? They're not
Thoughts
breathing.
And prayers
They're not
generation.
Letting the ocean take them.
No.
They're not. That was a fucking terrible analogy.
No, I got it.
But just tons of anger. I think, and, you know, I'm talking about the feminist shit that's going on.
Because you have to, here's the thing. You can't just accept it. You can't just accept certain things. You have to dissect the whole situation. And
over and over and over and
over,
over
and over
again.
And over and over again. Like, if you tell me you're a feminist, I don't believe you. I don't believe everybody that says that they're a feminist. They
yeah,
just say it because it's a fucking buzzword. They want to feel like they're a part of some fucking movement and then they're not alone. And then there's the other side where people who are real feminists that are doing stuff. But it's always that thing that the people who are doing the most are the quietest, you know? And I just feel like, you know, we were talking about this whole hashtag Me Too thing. I just don't like when... I get we need to bring it into conversation for people to understand what the hell's going on.
Hell yeah.
Because
we need to talk a lot more about it.
Yeah, we have to talk a lot more about it. And that's very important. So that's a one upside to like the whole movements when they happen. The Black Lives Matter thing, the Me Too thing. But on the other side of that shit, there's also bullshit. There's also the people who are just doing it to be a part of the narrative.
And those voices are the loudest.
Those are the loudest voices. And those are the ones that are doing the least. Some of them, sure, are getting some shit done. They're doing whatever. They're rallies. They're petitioning. They're out there with the fucking feet to the ground and getting shit done. But a lot of them are just, they're just screaming because they want to be heard. And there are women out there who make up stories to be a part of the Me Too movement. And you and I have talked about this. I can hashtag Me Too all goddamn day long. I can say, you know, I told you the other day, like, first time I ever had sex, I was raped. When I was like 12 years old, I was going to get my mom something at the store. This dude whipped his dick out right in my face on this little side street.
I just had an image of you chopping.
I have,
a knife.
And I've turned it into a joke. I talk about being a karate chop. A dick ninja. I gotta put that on a t-shirt. That'd be a fun
dick ninja.
Dick ninja. Would that
hey,
be?
Hey, that's Jesse Mays. You fuckers.
I mean, we could go all day long, but it's like. I think it's more important to, like, talk about the women who are being bullshit about it. Because not – what's happening now is we are burning men at the stake without any accountability.
Oh, there's blood everywhere, man.
There's blood everywhere.
The cleansing revolution, which I think happens. There's probably a lot of historical examples to compare to this. And I think that's okay. It's
yeah.
natural. And – it's okay to be fucking angry.
Yeah,
but
fuck yeah.
Rose McGowan, you don't fucking speak for me, bitch.
No.
You're angry.
She's very angry.
Hypocrite.
And she had a book. She was hawking her book after one of the interviews. To me, it's like.
And that's cool.
That's fine.
Hawk your book.
Hawk your book.
Don't do it under a false pretense of like, I'm a fucking victim.
Yes.
Because we're all victims.
We are.
And I agree with you. And I think, wow, it's also like, I call it the fourth. I've figured out that to me it's the fourth wave feminism.
Yeah.
Right? First wave, right to vote. Second wave, right to choose. Right to choose if you want to have a baby or not.
Yep.
Third wave was more in the 80s, 90s. Fucking Madonna. It was
women in the workplace. Sexuality.
Women in the workplace. Yep. Which is interesting to have the whole glass ceiling conversation and the sexual expressive, if you will, movement that like Madonna spearheaded,
yep.
as far as I'm concerned, and a bunch of really fucking dope ass women before her that no one's talking about right now. And then now there's this, right? And we're still defining it, and everybody's fucking all up in arms, and that's cool because there's shit, you know, remember back in 2012 in India when that poor sweet soul gets fucking assaulted for hours,
yep.
by six men on a bus. I mean, like, I read the story again the other day just because I'm a fucking masochist. I can't. I think there's, I don't know the exact statistic, but something like a woman gets raped in South Africa every 26 seconds, right?
That's insane.
Babies. Fucking baby girls.
The assault that goes on there is, it's brutal. It is brutal what happens to them.
They don't have the voice that we have.
Nope.
So I'm hoping that after we get past this, you know, expressing ourselves phase and anger phase, we can quickly turn that into, well, let's get together and help these poor babies in parts of Africa and in the Middle East and in India.
Where they don't even have any rights, where they're still fighting for shit that we have. Yeah. They're not even up to the level that we have. We're not being stoned to death for talking about it.
Let's focus on that instead of, like, chastising and castrating men who, I don't know, who you think are misogynistic.
Like, for Matt Damon.
Like, every man I fucking know is a little bit misogynistic.
Right, seriously. And then when you look at that, for me, I get you want to, like, take down the beast. You want to burn the castle down. But you have to. We were talking about intent and source. And you have to talk about what's the source of what he did. What's the source of what someone like Harvey Weinstein, why did he do that? There's always a why. Okay. Very small percentages of cases there's not a why, where you just have people who are serial killers, weirdos, and all that. But even still, on a psychological level, if you go into, like, the psychology of the brain, you still can find consistencies amongst these people. So you have to find the source. Why is Harvey that way? Something happened to him as a kid.
Yep.
To me, I have compassion for the monsters because something created them.
Yeah.
And then you have to ask, when it comes to the victims, what's their intent? When you're yelling out hashtag me too, when you're doing all this, do you
define that shit?
Do you want to sell a book, or do you want to change the barometer of what's happening within culture, in the workplace, women being attacked on buses in the middle of fucking Middle East? Do you want that to change, or do you want people to like your Instagram post?
Yep.
Do you want people to find you on Twitter?
It's a new kind of sickness, and it's so nuanced, and it's so complicated, and there are so many different examples within the spectrum of, you know, these babies getting raped beyond their will, you know, at 11
Jesus.
Years old, and then getting catcalled on the street. There's a lot going on.
There's a huge, yes, thank you. That's one of the biggest things that we have to realize, and that's where Matt Damon, where he's being castrated for saying that.
Because I think it's too soon, probably.
It is too soon, yep.
For men to say it. I think probably a lot of women in you know, in leadership roles outside of Rose McGowan are going to need to speak up. And
they really are.
I know a lot of women feel the way you and I feel to varying degrees. And going back to, like, the Harvey Weinsteins of the world, look, I am lucky enough to never have been raped. It is something that I am terrified. At 34, I am still fucking terrified.
And men don't get that psychology.
Yeah.
Women think about that because we've been told that it's a possibility. We've been told to be fearful of that. And so that's ingrained in our brain. That's a part of our daily existence, that could possibly happen. Just on a physical level, men are larger than us.
Yep.
They can overpower us.
I mean, when I was in my 20s, early 20s, I mean, I put myself in situations that could have gone much more badly than they did. And I think back now to those situations and you know, kick myself. Like, what the fuck? What were you doing? Stupid.
Yeah, and most girls, you know, when you're young, you don't know. And you put yourself in. It's almost like sometimes maybe you're just subconsciously testing the limits a little bit, how boys, you know, are testing out their manhood. Girls, you know, sometimes maybe we're just testing out to see how far we can go and where we're safe and where we're not safe. But when you're young, you don't know. You put yourself in these precarious situations. And unless something's already happened to you, or unless you have these parents that are just so diligent about the possibilities and they ingrain it in your brain, you know, you're going to be in those situations.
Yeah.
It's just a natural occurrence.
Listen, we're here to have sex.
Right, people right from, now?
But yes. Let's do it. Let's scissor. Because I keep coming back around to what then, ladies? Like, I've been watching these, you know, these friends of mine, these personalities from the health and wellness world, or the rewilding, the hunter-gatherer, the homesteading movement, right? I've been watching the situation where, you know, women are attacking a male leader within that space. One of the ringleader of that attack was his lover for 6 years. And they're not accusing him of anything sexual. They're not accusing him of anything...
like that he did.
That he actually did. They're accusing him of being a misogynist. Now, I know him. He's an alpha male. He's a strong personality.
Right.
And I believe that they feel like he's a misogynist. I believe them. But I think that's an example of a treatment and a focus of the Me Too movement that's fucking unacceptable.
It is unacceptable because it's like, okay, while there are certain behaviors that can lead to certain actions, you really have to look at what is important, where you're putting your energy.
And
if you're
just castrate every man who's ever been
misogynistic. I mean, come on. You're
and gonna, then what?
Then what do you want? You just piles of what? Yeah, we're all going to be scissoring.
Scissor.
You were burning down all these men for these little fucking, take down the ones that are doing shit that is really causing some serious damage. And we also have to like instill some sort of like societal programs, our education system.
It's going to take a lot of effort.
Yep.
And consistency and determination and really smart people doing it every single day. And the anger, while is natural, and I'm fucking angry.
Yeah.
I'm super angry. My biological father died in jail because he was a pedophile.
Holy fuck.
I'm fucking angry.
Holy fuck. That was a mouthful.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I get it.
Wow.
I have family members who were raped. I am the kind of person that when I would get catcalled, I'll go fucking punch a motherfucker. Like, I'm angry. But I don't think that is the answer.
No, anger's not, because anger, we were saying this before, anger begets anger. And anger is a natural emotion, and it happens, and we should honor that feeling, but you have to be strategic with it. Like these women that are just like, me too, and they're angry, and they're bringing their fucking stakes to the houses of Matt Lauer and Harvey Weinstein. Well, these guys, yeah, maybe they should lose their jobs because of what happened, but also not everybody should lose their jobs.
Nope.
Someone like Matt Damon being like, hey, maybe, and someone like Matt Damon is an example of a progressive thinker. When it comes to this wide spectrum of abuse, Matt Damon saying something like, hey, maybe there is a spectrum of situations that we should be looking at and applying our energies and applying the proper sentencing, if you will, to each individual thing. We need to do that a little bit better.
People don't want
to
hear that right now.
They don't want to hear it.
I read something from Alyssa Milano last night on Twitter that was really, it was really poignant. She articulated her anger in a very constructive way, I thought. Noting that, look, it's like, it's been hundreds and hundreds of years of us, and now we're pissed, basically. And it's not just, she used some sort of cancer analogy.
She did.
While there's many treatment options to treat cancer. There are many types of cancers, but you still have cancer. Like, there are some cancers that are more intense than others, but it's still cancer at the end of the day.
And what was she trying to say?
She was responding to Matt Damon's video in saying that, I think
Matt
a lot
Damon's
of these,
ex, Minnie Driver, and Alyssa Milano slam him for controversial sexual misconduct comments. So both of them went after him saying...
Yeah, Minnie Driver's was vampant and just like mindless, but... Alyssa's was actually really well thought out. I thought still a little bit snarky and misguided, but like that's what's happening right now. Dude, Rose McGowan's going after Alyssa Milano.
She's
going to eat each other. It's fucking zombies.
It's just, it's really insane, like how someone like Matt Damon comes out and says something where it's just like, hey, you know, we need to look at this from a wider spectrum, that the angry women are like, no, it's this way.
And I think it's because, and I experienced this too, with my husband, and I have a lot of men in my life, I hang out with mostly men, you know, they don't get it. Like you just said a few minutes ago, the fear of walking down the street as the sun goes down or at nighttime and just not knowing, knowing.
It's a real fear.
And we've grown up with it and we live with it. The fear of being in a closed room with a male and just what, you know.
It's a possibility. And, you know, it goes to, like, survival. Yeah.
Dude, men could kill us.
Yep. And especially, like, for me, you know, I've seen so many scenarios in my life where I should be an angry woman now, just hating men because of what I've experienced, you know, just on a basic level of just feeling like I'm going to be attacked all the time, that's a possibility. And seeing it from all different aspects, from a pedophile aspect, you know, somebody I know, somebody very close to me was abused for years. I was abused, you know, just
sorry to hear that. Random. That pedophile shit is,
it's terrible.
Dude, that's a dark, twisted kind of fucking condition that, oh man.
How do you see that? And then you do have to look, you know, one thing that Alyssa Milano said that I do kind of adhere to it. She said, "Dear Matt Damon, it's the micro that makes the macro." I understand that, because you have to look at all the little crumbs that are left behind to find your place, to find your way to the house, essentially. But if you stand back, not every person is going to become a pedophile. It's such a hard thing to detect. And then it's like, okay, if they are a pedophile, how do you cure that?
Well, a lot of times pedophiles were abused themselves.
Right. I mean, and that's a vicious fucking cycle. So then you have to go to, like, the parenting, like the types of people who decide to have fucking kids.
You have to at least have the conversation. You have to at least allow people to have the conversation. You can't have this sort of pack tribal mentality of, nope, you're a man, you have balls, you're likely, you say anything misogynistic, you're coupled in with the pedophiles now, and we're gonna fucking burn you at the stake and tear your head off. That, like, then again, then
what's left after that? And it's like, you know, we were talking about this before, where I feel like a certain type of woman wants to consistently tear down men because she herself does not feel strong enough to be with a man who's also strong. And I'm not equating guys who sexually abuse are strong men. No, what I'm saying is that there's a certain type of woman who feels the need to scream and yell and take down every single man because she herself does not feel good.
She's in pain.
She's in pain.
And here's the thing. Let's have more compassion for that aspect of it. Because, oh, my your sister, you're in pain? Let's
figure that out.
Let's talk about it.
Right.
It's okay.
Yes, it's okay.
Let's not abuse the situation because we have such an opportunity right now to make strides in this, you know, quote unquote, fourth wave
of feminism.
Let's put it in the right direction, because there's, like, a window for these things.
There really
know?
Is a window for these things.
Fucking finding aliens and shit.
I mean, what the fuck? I mean, we're going to have to talk about the alien thing before we go, but I just want to say, like, to the point of having compassion is huge. Anger is necessary. Anger can create change. Anger is a motivating emotion that can make you create change, but it also can destroy if it's not respected and used wisely. And that's where I'm saying, yes, have your anger. Let that emotion come through, but don't put it on every motherfucker.
Dude, hold your baggage, too.
Yeah.
And hold your baggage.
Be accountable.
Be accountable. Hold your baggage or unload it on people who are willing to help you hold it. We're all fucked up. We're all hurting. We're all angry.
We're all fucked up.
I
might have to title this episode, We're All Fucked Up.
But that's the point of, like, growing older, working on yourself, asking questions to yourself. What did I contribute to the situation? How did I help me get here? Because, and I haven't figured out a way to, I don't think, articulate this fully yet, but I'll just stumble through it here. Well, I have, like, mad self-esteem issues. A man, if he, say I'm in, you know, a situation with an abusive man verbally or someone who I think is a misogynist, like, it's my, I'm not fucking staying there in a sense, like, a man doesn't get to do to me whatever the fuck he wants mentally or physically. I say what the fuck he does.
Yep.
You know, or I'm kicking and screaming and ripping his dick off trying to.
You're fighting
the whole physical thing.
Yeah.
They're
So
let's talk about that more. Let's empower young girls to be their own
gauge of
their own strength.
Yeah.
To know their strength.
Self-worth.
And be like, you know what? Okay. There's a lot of misogyny. There really is. It's going to be, I mean, it's a difficult thing to get around, and we're working on it, but it's not going to happen overnight. Hasn't happened overnight. This is just another step in the right direction. But like, let's still live in the world. Let's not let us, I'm not a victim. Fuck you. I'm
yeah,
not a
no, you got it. You got to.
Misogyny is not going to beat me.
No. And if you will see, their misogyny is about them. Their misogyny is about whatever the issue is. It's always reflective back to them. And that's where I was talking about, like, the source. The source of their misogyny is way back in their childhood, in their infancy. Somebody neglected them. Somebody treated them like shit. So why are we going to continue to treat people like shit who've been treated like shit and have created the monster in them? So we're just going to be creating more monsters with this projected anger.
Well, I think, like, it's complicated because am I disgusted by Harvey Weinstein? Do I think he should have lost everything the way he did? 100%.
Yep.
I mean, and even that, like, does the punishment fit the crime? He did that shit for a long time.
Long time.
That's a great example of a person who's not working on themselves, never looked at themselves in the mirror as a little boy and said, little Harvey, what are we doing here? You know, and fuck him.
He probably said that to his dick. Too soon. Hashtag me too.
Oh, man. Dude, it was right before Halloween when all this started, and I thought, dope costume, gray fucking bathrobe, lotion in one hand.
Oscar in the other.
Oscar in the other.
Yeah. And then you have to, you know, if you go into that a little bit deeper, you have to ask yourself, you know, that shit was real predatory. What he did, it was calculated.
We took advantage
predatory.
Of women who wanted... Well, okay.
See, that's what I'm getting to, though. He knew who to take advantage of. I mean, he had dudes doing scopes on Ashley Judd. He ruined Ashley Judd's career. He ruined Mira Sorvino's career because he had shit on them and said, if you go out and say something about me, this is what I'm going to release.
That kind of terrorism is fucking...
That's fucking terrorism on an emotional level, on a professional level. And it's like, you know... He knew what he was doing. So someone like that, being that strategic and sick, should have been taken down the way he was taken down.
The people around him. I mean, you and I've been in... I mean, you're in Hollywood. You're a Hollywood starlet. You have an agent.
I got a lawyer. My lawyer's Chunk from Goonies, by the way.
That's fucking amazing.
That's amazing. He's a great guy. And this whole thing has made me want to talk about the great men as well. I have so many great... My manager, Chris Mazzilli, is one of the greatest guys I've ever known in my life. He's never done anything inappropriate. He's always lifted me up. He's been this supportive. Those people exist. Those men exist. And that's where I'm just like...
Because not all men are the same. Not all women are the same.
Yeah.
And just to say, like, to make a blanket assumption, I'm going to believe all women because all women are truthful.
Is fucking crazy.
It's the same as saying all women
men
are liars.
And all women are liars. Exactly.
I know a lot of fucking shitty women.
There's a lot of shit. There's those girls who, those trap hoes. They go out and they trap athletes to make babies with them. And they get paid off of that shit. Look at that Keaton's mom, that kid that made the video, the cute kid, you know. She had people give her like over $100,000. What's she doing with that money?
I could tell though. You could tell the way she was coaching him.
Yep.
And what that mean to you? And how do you feel about that?
It was
she was producing
that video. So there are women who do bad shit, man, but they don't represent the populace whole.
No, that's what's interesting to me. I just want to, you know, we're like, I always want to tell the rest of the world, Trump doesn't speak for us. Just
I know.
Give us like 3 years.
Give us a shot to try and flip this over.
Come on, guys.
This is not the America we know.
Rose McGowan doesn't fucking speak for me.
No, she don't, man. She did not speak for me. Wait, tell me about these motherfucking aliens before we get out of here because I'm about to Google this shit. What aliens?
So for my husband to use his very logical mind and be like, baby, I think they just admitted to fucking... finding aliens.
What?
I was like, what? Okay, so
I'm like Googling aliens are real.
Well, okay, to be fair, it was unidentified flying objects.
And it was like five, like, was it the government saying they're admitting the aliens?
So, former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, back when we actually funded NASA and space exploration and aviation and technology and
way
all
back
shit,
when.
Way back when. He used some of that, I'm told it's black money. It's like.
What? Is it bitcoins?
Matt says it's, you know, because it's like the black money. It's like not documented. It's like, you know, there's always a couple billion to just do that like crazy shit.
That's crazy.
Which I'm like, yes.
I want that black money, son.
I'm just glad it's there.
Yeah.
So that was used to fund a study on unidentified flying objects for real. And somehow that once classified information is now leaked on a fucking Saturday, man, which is
that's a great Saturday day, though, to find out the aliens are legit.
So they didn't find any little guys, little green guys.
No.
Damn but it. There's videos and eyewitness military pilot accounts of like the shit that you know, the conspiracy theory shit. Unidentified flying objects flying in ways that we can't do yet.
Oh God, I held my breath that whole time. I was so excited.
Breathe!
I'm so excited.
Breathe, Jesse!
I love the shit.
And no government has copped to it yet.
And so this information's leaked now? Yeah. These alien files are leaked?
You can read about it. New York Times, too.
Oh,
and for the
shit.
New York Times, it was a headline or a front
alien
page yesterday.
Alien leaked documents. Damn. Oh, this shit is ripe. I think that's pretty exciting, though.
It's so exciting.
But maybe it's probably better that we have Trump and everything here, because I feel like aliens don't really want to have anything to do with that shit. Like, they're going to be like, let's just go over to Finland and in Norway and fuck with them. They're not going to fuck with Americans because our shit is so messed up right now. They're not going to even try and, like, you know, probe us at all. Would you want to get abducted?
I just had an image of Trump getting probed.
God, he's so
gross. I had
an
image of my chihuahua getting probed this morning. Is that weird?
That is weird. By what? Like
well,
a dick?
Well, I was talking to Snoop about, I was taking her, my dog's
her, not
name
Snoop
is
Dogg.
Snoop.
Yeah, well, Snoop Dogg is her dog, but
respect.
Not.
Respect.
Her dog's name is Snoop. That's so funny because cousin's dog, its name was Snoop as well. You're hot?
I'm high off of Ricky Rosé.
Oh, you had some Ricky Rosé, girl.
No, it was Jim Farm Rosé.
That shit was dope. That shit Third smelled day. Delicious. I have to be productive after this.
This is a chickweed. Chickweed.
Why would you say chickweed?
Totally sexist. So it's hybrid naturally because most things are hybrid these days, but skews sativa, and I find that it, like Skittles, if grown well, you can take one hit, mm-hmm. two hits, and you don't fuck, no paranoia.
See, and that's, what's wrong with just one or two hits?
I don't know, man. I don't.
What the
know,
fuck?
You know, the guys that are saying that probably also drive cars with removed mufflers or whatever makes that fucking sound. They're just so sad.
They are. They're sad.
They're little Tommies.
They're sad. They look in the mirror and they look at their little weenies and they're like, oh gosh, darn it. I wish you had some more vigor in you. Sure, we like to.
Problem child, like that redhead
oh,
problem child.
God damn it.
But I was talking to Snoop this morning about the aliens.
Cause your dog.
Kinda, yeah. Because she kind of looks like a fucking alien.
And it's a girl.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, would they come for pets, too, or just people?
Yo, they come for pets.
Yeah. And then I just had an
image
of her.
You thought about getting her probed? I wonder if they've got anything like that, like an equivalent. You think aliens have service animals? Yo, you know how long the flight is in between Andromeda and some other fucking galaxy? Yo, they get on, like, their alien aircraft. They're like, yo, I got a service pig.
Dude, what if we become their service? What if humans, abducted humans,
fuck.
Are their service animals?
There's no paranoia in that weed? Shit. That sounds, actually, it sounds kind of baller. I treat my dogs really well.
Yeah.
If yeah. That's a great movie idea. Yeah.
That's my Kardashian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't. I wish the Kardashians would become alien service animals. We should just line the Kardashians up on the coast of California when Korea sends the missile over. And have it bounce right off of Chloe's ass.
Dude, that shit's big.
It's huge. It defies the laws of gravity, science, space, and anatomy.
It's not real, right?
Nah.
Chloe seems dope, though.
Chloe seems chill.
She has some pain.
Because she's half Kardashian. She ain't all. She's not full Kardashian.
Down that.
She's like
road.
OJ Simpson's kid or some shit. She's an alien. Okay. Yo, but for real, hashtag me too. If you're offended by anything we said, fucking do something. Don't write a blog. Do something. Maybe, you know, I think offense is an opportunity to change yourself and to make change in what offends you. Don't burn the monster. Try and change your behavior somehow.
That's beautiful, Jesse. I wish I was smart enough to define that, what that change is. But I don't know. I don't know what the fuck
we don't
it
know
is.
What it's going to be yet.
I don't know.
But talking about it helps.
And not talking shit.
I just talk shit about Chloe's ass, though. But aww. I mean, respect. You know, I just want a bigger booty. There's the
me
source
too.
Of the pain. You got a great booty. Mm-mm. You got a great
it's
booty.
It's small.
No, it's good.
I need to pout.
No, you great. You living
no,
the best
life.
No,
but I don't mean to shit on your very positive statement about doing something if someone's offended.
You didn't shit on it. Are look at us. We're just apologizing to everybody now.
No, you suck a dick. If you're offended, go be offended somewhere else. Here's the tiniest violin in the world playing for you. I mean,
I played it with my pussy lips, too.
Mm.
Yeah, my labias are mad musical.
Did you check that shit for tampons?
Oh, God. All right, the tampon thing is... What the fuck was that noise? See, that was a ghost that made a noise in the corner to tell me to not tell my fucking tampon story.
Aliens.
Yeah, you guys, I'm not going to tell you my tampon story. I'm going to leave that transparency for the next episode. Y'all going to have to come back.
Come back now, you hear?
Y'all come back now, you hear? Thanks for talking with me, Jackie.
I fucking love you, Jesse.
I love you, too.
You're super talented.
You're super talented as well. You motivate me.
And real. No, you motivate me.
I'm going to scissor your face.
Should we scissor? Wait, but scissoring's just with the vag.
Oh, that's right. We could aggressively snuggle.
I think scissoring's hot.
Scissoring is hot. I used to do it. My sister and I used to scissor each other when we were children.
It's not just you?
Yeah, we used to dry hump each other when we were real little.
I tell certain people at like 10, I used to do that with my girlfriends.
Yeah, that's totally normal.
Oh my God, yeah. Thank God.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
This whole time.
You're totally fine. Everybody out there.
I'm like, I'm a lesbian.
No, you're fine. You're nothing. Cool. You're just what you are, you know? We make labels because we don't feel comfortable with what the action is.
I fucking love women. I think women are sexy as fuck.
Women are beautiful.
I've been with a woman one time.
Nice. I licked a titty once.
And that's awesome. But women can also be bitches.
Yeah.
Just like men can be. There's a dark shadow to a lady, just like there's a dark shadow to men.
Yeah, and that's all I'm asking is that people be open to the possibility and the likeliness of there being a spectrum of what's going on out there. And to just be strategic with your anger.
Use your brain.
Use your brain.
Take some nootropics.
Yeah. Go for a jog.
Take some notes.
Yeah.
While you're jogging.
Yeah, absolutely. Exercise your mind, your body, and your soul. Before you burn the monster's castle. That's what I say. If you're angry, I say you should burn that anger out on the beach, at the gym, on a blunt, on a beanbag chair. This is like Tim Allen's closing thoughts on Tool Time.
Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on, baby, do the like beanbag.
Thanks for chatting with me. Got into it. I am doing questions this week. Thank you to Jackie Stang for sharing her story, sharing her past, her future, her hopes, her dreams, her fears. Shout out to her for being a part of the podcast. I appreciate it. And I'm going to answer you your fools' questions. I asked you guys to ask me questions, and boy, did you come with some real interesting stuff. That's all I'm going to say. I do it every week, or I try to do it every week on my Facebook fan page. And this week, first up is Johnny Carnesali. How do you feel about your hometown of Syracuse? I grew up here and left for 15 or so years. Now I'm back. Curious as to what your real thoughts are about Syracuse. And are you happy you don't live here anymore? I love Syracuse. You know, I have to say it from my perspective of how I grew up, and I had an amazing upbringing. I loved my childhood. I loved my street. I hated the fucking cold. I mean, I can't tell how many times I slipped on sheets of ice. I slipped on a sheet of ice last night. I hit the ice at the wrong angle, and I did like a triple axel. It gets bone cold here. like bone cold Steve Austin realness. It is so thick with frost in Syracuse. That's the one thing everyone always talks about is the weather. The upstate, you know, Wayne Mahar, lake effect. You don't understand snow until you've experienced lake effect in negative temperatures. People in LA are ridiculous with their sweaters and their, you know, they got neck warmers and winter jackets when it's 60, bitch. Come here and slip on a sheet of ice and get back to me. That's how I feel, Johnny Carnesali. Welcome back to Syracuse as well. Ed White, Jean-Claude. I mean, y'all with these names, that's real. There's a lot of consonants in your name, sir. What's the hardest and best part about what you do? The hardest part probably is that you have to fail in front of people as a comedian in order to get good. Your only practice is literally in front of strangers, so that can be emotionally exhausting and difficult and hard to stay the course when you have to literally suck in front of people and deal with that emotion, you know, deal with thinking all these strangers are going to think that I suck and that's the way they're going to go home tonight. When in fact, everybody sucks at something. It's the only way you get good at it. And the best part is I get to bring joy to people. And sometimes I have to remind myself of that when I don't feel joy in my life and I have to go work. What I do, my job is I'm a clown, and clowns make people feel good. And we've learned that people will pay a pretty price to feel good in this world, you know, whether it's a car, whether it's a massage, or a comedy show. And I'm not saying that I'm going to be charging $1,000 a ticket for my New Year's Eve shows. What I'm saying is that there's a high value to what I do. So I've learned in my years to value it a little bit more because of what it brings to people's lives. That, and I get to drink while I work. Bob Strickland, do you own a car dealership, Bob? Pretty girl. You don't need makeup. You look beautiful naturally. Oh, shit. I'm sorry. I just tore your name apart. Thank you. It's funny you say that because I actually, on my days off, like when I'm chilling or if I just want to be with myself, when I'm hanging out with my man, I don't want to wear makeup. And that's just not my thing because I like to look good for you guys, and I'll look good for my man too when I need to. But when it's just me and I'm just hanging out and trying to have a day off, I ain't trying to put on rouge. I will throw on a nice lip, though. I will throw on a dark pink lip. Don't get me wrong. If I'm going to a grocery store and I need to get some kumquats, I might come through with a thick lip. Thank you, Bob Strickland. Blake Sherman, thought you were keeping your roots. What happened? I changed my hair color a little bit, Blake. You're on hair patrol, okay? Calm down. The beautiful thing about hair is you can change it. I'll go purple next month for you, okay? Nicole Peterson, did you accomplish everything you wanted to this past year? Nope. If I accomplished everything I wanted to this past year, I didn't try hard enough and give myself enough challenges. I like to have more on my plate than I can handle to keep me going. That's the kind of stallion that I am. I like a lot of work. I like challenges. I like to know that I didn't accomplish everything because that means I was trying to do too much and I've got more to do for next year. But I did get a really good vibrator. Thank you. Nicole Peterson, part B, do you ever get sick of traveling to the same areas or do you try and switch it up? You know, I don't get sick of traveling anywhere because every time I go someplace, even if I've been there before, it's going to be a new experience. So I just go and try and not have expectations when it comes to all that. And hopefully I discover some crazy experiences and interesting people. And I always do. So I think your frame of mind can sort of control your anticipation and the outcome of whatever you do. So that's what I say about that. Ian Burns, discuss why I didn't get my Jessie Mae t-shirt for Christmas. Ian, what shirt is it? I haven't even printed out my new shirts yet. You, Mitch Bacon Eagle, and Blake Sherman keep talking about the shirt that you apparently ordered that I don't even know which one it is. So send me a message, and if you want your own personal shirt, I guess I'm going to have to make it. I think I did say I'm going to make you your own personal shirt. Shit. God damn it. I'm a woman of my word. I'm loyal, Ian, so I'm going to have to send you something. Hit me a message. We'll figure it out. Johnny Carnesali's back. What is a Sharp Tongue podcast? Just, you know, out of left field, what the fuck is this? You know, we don't know what it is, Johnny. It's a ride. Why does everything have to have a label? Why don't you just sit in the ride and enjoy it and let it take you where it takes you? My podcast is everything. It's road stories. It's some of my stand-up. It's revealing things about my family. It's interviews with interesting comedians. It's interviews with scientists. It's everything. It's every podcast in one. If you ever want to tell your friends what Sharp Tongue Podcast is, it's a little bit of everything. Ian Birds, what's the best cure for a sore throat? A dick. A dick with some turmeric on the tip of it. That's my holistic cure. Aaron Matthews, what would George Carlin say about the state of the world today? You know, I have said this to myself over and over, and Joan Rivers as well. The two huge social comics whose voices are missing because they really set the tone for what is going on and what people can laugh at. You know, people are so fucking sensitive now and everyone's so offended. I miss Carlin's logic. I miss Joan Rivers' cutting tongue. I wish they were here today to talk about what's going on because it is fucked up. Daniel Zook, is there any kind of question you refuse to answer going lady? I don't know. Did I read that wrong? Is there any kind of question you will refuse to answer going lady? I don't know what you mean, Daniel, but you can ask me anything and maybe I'll answer it. Maybe I won't. It'll be a surprise for both of us. Comedy Works. Are you excited to headline Comedy Works in Denver this January? Yes, I am. Shout out to the Comedy Works. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. It's going to be my first time. That's right, guys. I'm going to be at the Denver Comedy Works for Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, the Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Come check it out. The 14th, 15th, and 16th. And we're going to have a great time. Smoke some weed, party, hang out. It's going to be lovely. Nicole Peterson is back. What the fuck, Nicole? You're getting kind of greedy. Do you think dogs can see ghosts, bitch? I hope not. Are you high right now? Stop. I don't know. I can't. Oh, God. My dog can't even find his toy. So if he's seeing ghosts, I'm confused at what's going on inside of his retinas. It's like he literally can't even see the bacon I put right underneath his nose, and he's going to be seeing Abe Lincoln? Come on. It's really inconsistent. Blake Sherman, any Netflix recommendations? You always ask me this, Blake. You know, Netflix is kind of lacking for me lately. I'm going to be honest. I've been kind of on a Amazon stint right now. But if you think of anything, let me know. I'll look in my stock and see what I got. Allison Melly, why no laugh this year? Why no laugh this year? I don't know what that means. Oh, why no laugh Boston? I was there, Allison. I'm going to be there in the spring. I was there for this. That's Allison. Will you be my Valentine? It's my girl. I'll be at Laugh Boston in the spring. I actually just spoke to Tobin, John Tobin, who runs it, and he's going to get me a date. So Boston will be coming up in the springtime, girl. Mike Clancy, marriage Q&A. Marriage Q&A's cool? I don't know what that means. Some of y'all sound like you just blasted, did a dab and just typed on your computer. Marriage Q&A's cool? Yeah, sure. Ask me. Oh, do you want me to marry you? No, Mike. Yeah, no. I don't just marry anybody. It's either going to be Stamos or my soulmate. So that's it. Stamos is already married, so I guess it's going to have to be a soulmate. Kayla Van Loven, what are your goals for 2018? Dang, I got a lot of goals. One of which, to start saving a lot of money. I want to buy a house or some sort of structure that I can make money off of besides my dispensary and comedy. I also want to maybe settle my life down a little bit more. I also want to hopefully help my dad and get some medical marijuana implemented into his regimen and hopefully get him feeling good. I also want to continue to work and grow and become a better person and learn my flaws and work on them and not project and blame me before I blame anybody else. And I also want to like smoke weed and tequila and wine. Heifi Hefner. I mean, these names are ridiculous. Pete Rodriguez, hotness. Eric Kratzer, so cute. Okay. Ian Burns, you realize I'm gutted right now. Go for the t-shirt. Ian, I'm sorry. I swear, just message me. I will get you a shirt. Send me a DM, bro. Slide up in my DMs. Ben Heller, all right. I see the bicep. Oh, you guys are commenting on the photo. Let's see. Any other questions? No, I think I got a majority of them. There might be one other maybe a few other here. Nicole Peterson is fucking back. Is regifting a bad idea? I feel bad. I feel like a bad person for even thinking about it. Also, is it bad that I had a dream that I saw you in person and said Happy Weeds Day? I've been listening to all your podcasts in order. I think that may be why. Regifting is the best idea. You save money and you utilize something that you think is a piece of shit, like slipper socks or a candle that smells like taint. So regift it. Give it to somebody who deserves it. And it's not bad that you saw a dream. It saw me in your dream. I think it's pretty dope. And you said Happy Weeds Day. You're such a delightful dreamer. I'm usually like fisting a teddy bear and crying into a bowl of Fruit Loops that come to life and eat me. My dreams are disasters. So good for you having like a delightful one and being a good person. And thank you for listening to my podcast. I appreciate that. Dennis Ibarra, one of my designers that I work with, toilet paper, he says. Over or under? Personally, I think you're a knuckle-dragging sewer dweller if you're on team under. I agree. I'm an over TP person. If you're an under TP person, you're dead to me. How about that? Blake Sherman, have you recorded from your seal encounter at the beach? Have you recovered from your seal encounter at the beach? It's funny. I took my dog, Carlin, as I often do, to the beach. It's a peaceful moment for me. I will throw the ball into the ocean. Chaplin and Bunny will chill up on the shore because they're terrified because they're 4 pounds. But Carlin's such a water dog. And we were there last week. And I saw this creature. I thought it was a Loch Ness fucking monster. And I'm like, this thing is getting closer and closer. And it was a seal or a sea lion. I don't know the difference. I'm not Steve Irwin. And it kept getting closer. And all I could envision was just a video of Carlin being eaten alive by these seals. So we had to keep moving away because they were like, it looked like Carlin. It looked like pit bulls in the ocean. They're like the dogs of the ocean. But they didn't come near us anymore. I was terrified. I was like, are they going to eat my dog? So it was fun, though. It was like nature-y. Kayla Van Loven, I love you guys. You guys are so loyal. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received? Best comedy advice I ever received, which has been passed down from a lot of different comedians. The first time I ever heard it was from my ex, Giannis Pappas, who said, you're never as bad as your worst set, and you're never as good as your best, which means don't have so much pressure on yourself and don't give up. And the best life advice is for me that I've learned, especially what's going on in my life right now, is all the small moments make up the bigger picture. So enjoy those little moments. And if you need to take a lot of photos to enjoy them, I recommend that. But it's all in the little moments of life that make life beautiful. And I'm going to end the podcast on that, y'all. Come see me live. JessieMae.com for tickets. If you mention this podcast, email me. I will give you free tickets. You can win free tickets to come see me live. I'm only giving out a handful, very limited supply this time for the New Year's Eve show, American Comedy Company in San Diego, December 29th, 30th, and 31st. Also, the Denver Comedy Works show. I'm giving out tickets for that. That's going to be for Martin Luther King Jr. weekend and also for my Sketchfest show, January 26th in San Francisco. As always, live your truth. Don't be assholes and try and improve yourself and help somebody in need. Life is too short to be a selfish cunt. Signing off, this is Jessie Mae. I love all of you, some of you more than others. You know who you are. Soul toast for life!